Hi, this is Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to learn how to create event handlers for ASP.NET web pages and server controls. So let's get started by creating a sample website. Just create a regular ASP.NET website, and we're going to call this website VB, and this will be in the sample code that you can download with this video. So the first thing we're going to look at is page events in ASP.NET. Let's open up the code behind file for this default ASPX, and let me go down here into the page events drop down, and over here you can see these are all the standard page events that come with the ASP.NET framework in terms of an ASP.NET page lifecycle. And if you want to add an event handler for any of these here in Visual Basic, what you need to do is either select the event from the drop-down list. In this case, we're going to create an event handler for the load event, or you could manually code it. So let's select the load event. And we're going to do a simple little experiment here to show you how this load event for the page is connected to the actual loading of the page. So let me create a public string variable here where we'll put a little message. And that will hold a message. And then what we're going to do is let me go back over to default ASPX to the HTML side of things. And let's put a little bit of script here. And we're going to say response.write. And we're going to write out the contents of that message variable. So now let's go back over here to our event handler for the page load event. And the first thing to point out is the naming convention for this method. As you can see, it's page underscore followed by the name of the event. So in this case, this handles the load event for the page. And if we go back up to that list of page events, if we were to create a method for any of these other events, let's say pre-render, you'll see that we'll get a similar method, which is page underscore pre-render. So let's go inside this load event and let's assign some text to our message variable. We'll just put in the page load event handler. Now let's look at the syntax for this page load method, and let me get rid of the Solution Explorer so we have a little more real estate and we can see the entire syntax here at once. And I mentioned the underscore event name, and then we get these two standard parameters passed into any event, the object representing who sent the event, and then the variable containing the event arguments. In this case, it's the standard system.event arguments object. And then over here on the right side in Visual Basic is the handles keyword, and that indicates what event this particular method is handling. And in this case, this page underscore load method is handling the me.load, which is the page.load event. So let's fire up the web page here and we'll see that this page load event is fired. We'll put a breakpoint right here. So let's go ahead and start up the default ASPX web page with the debugger. You can see we're in here in the debugger assigning the value to our message, and then if we let it run from here, we get the web page with our message displayed. So in this particular scenario, we are explicitly declaring a handler for the load event to be this page underscore load method. And now let's go back over to the ASPX page and take a look at the page attribute up here at the top on line 1. And notice this attribute called auto event wireup equals false. This attribute refers to a capability in the .NET framework where the framework can automatically connect event, or methods I should say, as event handlers to specific events based upon a specific naming convention. And in the first case that we looked at here, we're explicitly declaring the handler for the page load event. Now, auto event wire up is false, so whenever auto event wire up is false, you have to explicitly declare the event handler for a particular event. Now, if we change this to true, which I'll do right now, and we then go back over to our code behind, what we can do is we can actually get rid of this handles on the end of the method declaration. And now, because this method follows the naming convention of page underscore load and auto event wire up is set to true, the framework will automatically associate the page underscore load event with the page load method. And now we'll fire up the web page again, and this time we'll see whether or not, without the explicit handler declared and the auto events wire up equal to true, that we get the event handled. And indeed, here we are back down in the page load method, even though we don't have an explicit handler attached, and we will get the same message in our web page. Now, as you might expect, if we go back over into the page and make auto event wire up equal to false, leave this method declaration without the handles on it, and fire up the web page again, this time we will not get the message displayed because our page underscore load method was never called. There's one very important thing to understand about this automatic event wire up, and that is, if you have this set to true, what's going to happen is that the framework is going to create and attach a delegate for every single one of the page events. Now, in this particular scenario so far, we've been dealing with an individual page and the auto event wire up attribute. What I want to show you next is, let's take this auto event wire up attribute out of the page element, and we'll go back over here to the code behind, and let's get rid of the handles on the method again. So what we have here is we have auto event wire up not declared as an attribute in the ASPX page, and we are not explicitly indicating that we want this page load to handle the load event for the page. So what's going to happen in this situation is that because we don't have the auto event wire up attribute, it's going to refer back to the default value in machine.config, which is set to true. So we should get the message on the page because the auto event wire up in the machine.config being set to true is automatically going to attach to the page load method here in our code behind, just as if we had auto event wire up equal to true over here as an attribute in the ASPX file. So let's fire this up in the debug mode. And you'll see, as expected, we're hitting the page load method because the machine.config auto event wire up is set to true, and we get our message on the page. Now, so far we've been working in a Visual Basic sample website, and what I'd like to do next is to create a sample C# website, because this same scenario works a little bit differently in the C# language, and I think it's important that you see a comparison between the two depending upon which language you work in or if you work in both. So let me open up the Solution Explorer and let's create another sample website. This time we're going to do one in C#. Let me just change the folder for the sample code, and we'll call it Website C#. So let's go down and create our little response.write script for our message. Then let's go to our code behind, and you can see that we automatically have a page load method created by the project template. So if we go up and create a public string message variable, and then down here we'll assign a text, that we'll say message equals in the page underscore load event handler. So let's make the C# website our startup project. Now let's start up this default page in the debugger, and let me put a breakpoint over here on line 17. We'll start it up in the debugger, and indeed we hit the page load method and we see the message on the page. So one thing that's different about this in C# is, if you notice, we have not written any code here to indicate that this page load method handles the page's load event. And that's because back here in default ASPX for C#, you can see that the auto event wire up attribute is set to true by default, which is different than what happens in Visual Basic. So if we set this to false, and then we start up the site again in the debug mode, we'll see we get the blank page and we did not hit the breakpoint in the page load method. So since the framework is not automatically wiring up our page load method, let's go over to the code behind and see how we would add a handler here in C# to get this page load method to attach as the event handler for the page load event. In order to get this page load method attached to the load event for the page with auto event wire up set to false, we have to explicitly declare the event handler. So in order to do that, we need to put it somewhere. So let's put it in the onInit method. So we'll do protected override, and we'll go to the onInit. And what we'll do is we'll say this being the page dot load event, and we'll go plus equals, and we'll create a new event handler. We'll hit tab, and then instead of taking this underscore default underscore load, which is being suggested, we'll put page underscore load. So now this should attach the page load method as the event handler for the load event. So let's fire up the page in the debug mode. And as you can see, we do hit the page load method, let it run through, and we get the message on our page indicating that the page load method was called. The machine.config auto event wire up is set to true. So just to cover that, let's comment out this that we just put in here to explicitly attach the event handler. We'll go back over to the page and we'll take out auto event wire up equals false. So now we should fall back to the machine.config and we'll fire up the web page in the debug mode. And as expected, we do hit the page load method. So the difference here in C# is that if we want to explicitly attach an event handler, we don't have the handles keyword here on the actual method declaration. We have to assign an event handler somewhere else in our code, such as we did here in the onInit method. Now the last thing we need to look at with respect to the page events is that we've talked about the auto events wire up being an attribute here in the page element. It also can be placed in the web.config, and in the web.config that value would pertain to the entire website rather than just a single page. And as we saw, machine.config, that applies to all web applications under the current server or installation. So if we wanted to set it in the web.config, let's go into the config file for our C# project, and you would set it in the pages element under system.web. So if we add pages, and you'll see there is the auto event wire up attribute, and here you could set it to true or false. So those are the three options. You either fall back to the global machine.config value, which is true, you set it in the web.config so it applies to the entire web application, or you set it in the individual page. And it is applied in that order of precedence, in that the page, if it's set, will take precedence over web.config. Web.config takes precedence over machine.config. So now let's take a look at event handlers for web server controls. And to do that, we're going to go back over and work on our VB project. So let me close down a couple of these windows. So to demonstrate how server controls do event handling, let's add a simple server control to our page. I'll go over into the design mode and we'll add a button to the page. Now by adding the server control to the page, we don't explicitly have any event handlers for our button yet. If we go into the source, you'll see there's the server control markup and there's no indication of an event handler there. If we go back over to the code behind, we don't see any event handlers. Now, there are several approaches to creating event handlers for the server controls, and probably one of the more common is that people will just double-click on, say, a button control, and what happens there is we automatically get a button 1 underscore click event handler generated. And if I scroll out here to the right, you'll see we have the handles button1.click event added to the end of the method declaration. Now if we go back over into our default page and go to the source view, you'll see our declarative syntax for the button control remains the same. So just to see that this works, let's go to our code behind, and in our button click event, let's take our message variable and let's say, you know, the button is clicked or was clicked. And let's take our breakpoint off of page load and let's put it down here on line 12. And let's make our VB website the startup project. Now let's run the website, fire it up in the debug mode. Here's our button. When we click on the button, you do see that we are in the click event handler for the button. Let it run through and we see our message was changed. Now there are a couple other approaches to assigning the event handlers for particular server controls, and what I'd like to do next is we're going to go over here and we're going to take out the handles from this button 1 click, and actually to show that this is really different, let's call it button 1 the click. Let me copy that text because we're going to need that in just a moment. And now the second way you can attach an event handler, we're going to go over here to the declarative syntax, and in there we're going to go to the onClick event, and what we're going to put here in the tag or attribute onClick is the name of the method that we're mapping the onClick event to, and in this case it'll be button1 underscore the click. So we'll check, we still have our breakpoint. Let's fire up the web page in the debug mode. We'll click on the button, and indeed we're still attached to the button1 underscore the click, even though we don't have the handles on the end of it. In this case, we explicitly assigned it in the declarative syntax. Now the third way to assign the event handler is actually a variation on what we just did here in the declarative syntax. And let me go over to the code behind and we'll call this the click 2. I'm going to go back over here, take out this onClick attribute in the button element. Let's go up in the design mode. And this is just a little more graphical way to do it. Go over into the properties window, and by default we're seeing the properties of the button control. If we click on the events button in the toolbar, we see the various events that are associated with the button control. And what we can do here is we can actually select any method in our code behind. And in this case, we'll select button1 underscore the click 2. And now that is assigned as the event handler for onClick. And in fact, if we go back over to the source code, we'll see that the declarative syntax remains the same. However, Over in the code behind what's happened is Visual Studio has added a handles button1.click to our method. So as expected, if we fire this up in the debug mode, click on our button, we will hit the event handler right here, and the text is substituted on the page. Now the other interesting thing we can do has to do with attaching the events for multiple controls to the same event handler. So to demonstrate that, let's go over to the default ASPX and let us add several buttons to the page. Go into the tool, add a couple more buttons. Now we have 3 buttons on the page. Go back to the source view. There are buttons 1, 2, and 3. Now let's go to our code behind, and what we can do is go over here and we can take this handles, and what we can do is we can say button2.click and button3.click. And so what's going to happen now is all 3 of those buttons, when any of them, I should say, is clicked, it's going to go to this particular method. So let's start up the web page again in the debug mode. And let's click on button number 3. You see we're down here in the event handler, button 2 in the event handler, as well as button 1. Now, one thing that's useful when you have an event handler that's a method, I should say, that's handling multiple events, you might want to know which button was clicked in this case and the message sent to the event. So what you can do is, if we dimension a local variable as a button and we set that equal to, we convert the inbound sender, which in this case is the button, to a button instance of the button object, then we could do something like saying response.write and say the button clicked was, and we would take button.id. Now if we fire up the page, click on any one of the buttons. Let's click on this one. We're into the event handler. Let it run from there, and you can see we get the message that is button 1. Let's do this one. Let it run through. Button 3. Let's do the left-hand one. Let it at run, and that's button 2. So that gives you an indication on how you might deal with determining which button was clicked and then taking some action based upon that knowledge. So this shows us how the server control event handlers work in Visual Basic. Let's go over to our C# project and take a look at how that functions there, because it is slightly different. Let me close down the VB pages. Let's open up our default ASPX and the code behind in C#. Let's go and add a button. So there we have our button, and let's double click on it like we did in the VB. So you can see we get a button1_click method, and let's just change our message object to indicate we're in the button click event. So the question is, how is C# dealing with the attachment of the event handler button1_click to the button click event? Because we don't have the handles on the method declaration like we do in Visual Basic. So what's happening is, if we go back over to default ASPX and go to the code behind, we'll see that it's using the approach of the onClick attribute and the name of the method. And then when the page is compiled, C# behind the scenes is automatically creating the event handler, or I should say the delegate to the event handler for the onClick event. Now we could do this explicitly ourselves, so let's take out the onClick in the declaration in the ASPX page, go back over to our code behind. Let me uncomment this on init, and we'll just comment out that load handler, and we would do something very similar. So what we would do is we would say this.button1.click. We would add a new event handler, and in this case we'll map it to button1_click. And that's essentially what the compiler would be doing behind the scenes with our declarative syntax. So let's just fire this up and see that it works. Let me switch the startup project over to C#. We'll start it up. And we get our page with the button. Actually, we still have our event handler for page load, so we're hitting that. We'll just continue on. Click the button down into the page load again. And we get the message change that we're in the button click event. So how do we handle the multiple controls mapping to the same event handler as we saw over in Visual Basic? Well, let me comment out this explicit event handler creation. Go back over to default ASPX and let's put that on click back in, and that is equal to button1_click. So now let's add a couple more buttons to this page. Let's go back into the source. And so one approach, since we don't have the handles on the method over in the code behind, is actually to take this and we'd put this in all three of our button declarations. So now if we start up the page, we'll have our three buttons. Let me just put a breakpoint here on 31. Let me take it off of 27. Let it run. If we click on any of these buttons, you can see that we get here into the breakpoint inside the button one click event. Let it run. Click on the second one, we're in there. And also click on the far left, we're also in there. Now we could take the same approach here and explicitly declare the event handler, such as I did a few minutes ago up here in the onInit. And in fact, we could put some of them in declarative syntax, some of them explicitly here in the code. And just quickly to point out how the design mode works, we saw before, very similar. What you'll see if we go to any of these buttons and view the events, that each of the buttons is set to button one click. So we could have come here in the design mode, gone to events, and selected the button one click for all of the controls on the page that you want to map to a specific event handler. So we've looked at how to map server controls to event handlers in C# and Visual Basic. One way is to put the attribute here in the declaration of the server control in the ASPX page. The other, depending upon the language, either in C#, you can explicitly declare the event handler, or as we saw over in VB, if I open up that code behind, we can add the handles to the end of the method declaration. So all the events that we've been talking about here are server-side event handlers that are fired when the page posts back to the server. And there's one other aspect of this that I want to show you. Let me shut down the C# pages. We'll open up the default ASPX for VB. Let me make website VB the startup project so we don't forget to do that. Let's go into the design mode. And let's add a text box here on our page in addition to our buttons. Now the text box has a default event just like the button has a click event, so let me double click on the text box. We get the event handler in our code behind. can see it's text box 1 underscore text change. Has a handles out on the right saying it handles the text change. Let's do a response dot right here. And we'll say in the text box. So let's fire up the page and see what happens. Get our page with the text box. Let me type some text in the text box. I'm going to hit tab to move focus to another control, and that should change the value of the text property, which it does, but our event is not firing. So let's go back and look at why we aren't getting the event firing. And this has to do with what I mentioned a few minutes ago, that these are all events that are fired based upon postback. And one of the things that had to be considered when they architected this system is that there are a number of events that occur in controls that are not, that they chose, I should say, to not automatically map back to posting, because obviously every time the page posts, there's some overhead that's incurred. So what happens is that in the case of the text box, the events such as text change do not automatically initiate a postback. And there's a property on these server controls called auto postback, and in the case of the text box, it is set to false. Now, if we change it to true, what's going to happen is when the text is modified, the text is modified and that fires the text changed event, which is the default event for the text box, it is going to post back to the server. So now let's start this page and see what happens with the auto post back set to true. Let me set a breakpoint on line 20 in our text box 1 text change. Fire up. We'll type some text into the text box, and I will now hit tab to move focus out of the text box, which should change the text and the text property. And indeed, it does post back to the server. Here we are in the event handler. We'll let that run through, and we get the response.write writing the in the text box to the page. Because of the overhead required in posting back to the server, you need to give careful consideration to which server controls have server-side event handling. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video on creating event handlers for ASP.NET page events as well as server-side controls.